everybody here on a hot August day. Does everybody pretty much know everybody? It looks like most of you are talking to each other.
There's a couple of people I haven't met.
Okay. And we're doing this too because of Melinda. I'm Obie Slaman, the chair right now of this committee. Melinda?
I'm Melinda Nish. I'm the new interim deputy chancellor here at the district offices. And I've had the opportunity to meet some of you in different venues, but I haven't met Gary and Antonio, and I don't think we've met yet either. But everyone else I've actually had the opportunity to meet, so I'm really pleased to be here today on my first foray into the Citizens Oversight Committee.
That's great. You'll love this committee. Okay.
Stacy Pinkett, I'm the executive assistant to David and Tom.
And so, Donna, you missed the last meeting, but Lillian has moved on to other assignments, so Stacy's now.
Oh, okay.
You're new here, too, then.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Frank Padilla, admin analyst with Facilities Planning and Development Department.
Marisela Gomez, I'm communications manager for the department.
Tom Hall, the director of Facilities Planning and Development in the district.
My name is Rob Berkowski. I'm the program director for Build LACCD with JDOT.
Mary Cook, retiree rep.
Antonio Sanchez, so I'm with IBW Local 11. I serve as a political director and not the union rep to the board. And I just want to share that I'm coming from Trade Tech, where a partnership through the LA County Federation of Labor and Trade Tech and a few other organizations, there's a graduation or reentry program from individuals that have served and are ready to come back, and with the trades, we're, I think they have 87% placement for this cohort. It's just really amazing.
That's
proud
great.
To share that information.
Wow, that's
yeah.
great.
Raymond Chang, I'm the business rep. I also serve with the foundation
yep.
for the LACCD.
David Salazar, Chief Facilities Executive.
John Holloway, Lawyer of Construction Counsel for the district.
Ty Dorr, Best and Creator with John.
Okay, great. Thank you, everybody. Do we have any members of the public here who would like to address us? Okay, great. The minutes of the last meeting, it comes online. I don't know if you got a copy up here, but did everybody have a chance to read the minutes?
We didn't get the minutes yet.
Oh, okay. And the change of stuff. Okay.
She said that she would have them, so.
Okay, great. All right, we'll do that then at the next meeting. We need to set up the, do you have to leave, Melinda, soon? Okay, great. The meeting dates and times, you got a sheet of all the places that this committee has met in the past. We have found it beneficial to this committee to actually visit the sites instead of just talking about them, so. For next year, it would be good if we could hit the colleges that we haven't been to yet, and then we fill in with meetings here. Did you want to set up the places now?
Okay. The reason we want to talk about it is because we've been setting up the meetings at the campuses, but the idea of setting up the meetings at the campuses was so that we can tour some of the buildings and stuff like that. But more recently, it seems like the tours, you know, people haven't been taking the tours, so I didn't know if you wanted to continue to go to the campuses or you wanted to come here and have the meetings, but that's a point for you guys to decide.
All right, how do members of the committee feel? Yeah,
some of the difficulties, some of the campuses are far, and it you couldn't quite do it like in downtown. Usually be able to come here, do the lunch meeting, and then you're able to go back to work. Some of the meeting, by the time we finish, it's 3:30, and it just defeats the entire afternoon to make it very difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
For some others, I don't know, but unless there is a particular building, as you said, we just complete a building, we want to see it, or there's an issue that we need to see it and find a solution, I understand that. But otherwise, I prefer to be here.
All right, Gary, how do you feel?
I agree. Having him here is more convenient for staff and that. And if there's a reason to go out to the field,
and see a campus, I'm not opposed to it, but this is much more convenient.
All right,
ditto.
Are there any other, most of the rest of the people are staff? I feel the same. I think visiting the other campuses has served its purpose. We have a feel for what's going on at the different schools. A lot of us have taken the tours. If we've gone back to the college a second time, we haven't taken those tours. But I think it's been a great experience to go visit the colleges. I agree. I live at the very end of the valley, so to go to some of the colleges has been a 2 and 3 hour trip, not just being there. So it's been a little bit tough. But from what you all are saying, if you want to schedule the meetings here this coming year, and then if something does come up, we'll give everybody plenty of time to put that on their schedule and then go visit that school.
Let me make it as a motion. We have all our meetings here as a board member gets a hold of Tom and says there's a reason, or Tom considers the reason.
A second?
Second.
Brandon? All right, those, I guess just the member in favor to say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, great. So they all will be scheduled here and
unless there's an issue that you guys want to see out on the campus.
Okay.
And then we'll look at that campus to see if we can get a room where you can go out there.
Okay, great. All right, thank you for that. And the times are still good, 12 to 2?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
And those dates, if anybody has any of those dates, they can. Let us know ahead of time if there's a holiday or something that we missed. What we tried to do was pick dates that worked with the support team schedule so that we would make sure that we would have people available to help with this. But, if there's dates on there that you want to change, we're not opposed to it. Usually the reason we go on Friday afternoon from 12 to 2 is because that's usually when the student can attend. Because they're going to class the rest of the time. But anyhow, that's usually what we do at 12 to 2 on Friday.
Okay, so 12 to 2, everything's good. All right, the annual report, Frank?
All right. I've distributed the annual report from last year. It's that time again to start working on it. The financials from the bond program have been finalized a few weeks ago, so we'll start inputting that data into the new annual report. Mr. Cook and Mr. Sanchez have agreed to participate on a subcommittee to help develop the fiscal year 17-18 report. I wanted to distribute this just to walk everyone through it so they understand what's in there, and also take it with you, and if you have any comments or feedback or anything you'd like to see in here, please let me know. But I'm just going to go high level. Page 3, we basically have the chair's cover letter describing what's been going on the past year. Page 8 and 9 are basically district facts about the bond program and what's taking place in the fiscal year that the report covers. Page 10 and 11 were something. Page 10 was added last year to talk about solar power generation and what the district is doing on the green energy front. And page 11 was beefed up last year as well to talk about the different partnerships that the Community Economic Development Program has with local agencies around the area and the partnerships to get people to work and work on our program. And then pages 13 all the way to the end of the report are basically, it describes each college's program, the different buildings that are going on their program, what's been built, what's upcoming, and also it describes the financial picture of budgets and projects and upcoming and all that. So we plan to use the same format, update information, and then when we meet with the subcommittee, take any new information that we feel should be added to it. But take this with you and then review it, and if you have any comments, feedback, just let me know, and then when we meet, we can discuss it and incorporate it. So, and we plan to present the report at the October 19th DCOC meeting for approval.
Are there any questions for him about the format, or anything you want to see added before?
One of the things we will be adding is Measure CC, because it wasn't in this report last year. We hadn't really started using any of the dollars, but now we're starting to use some of the dollars. That will be added into the report.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you, Gary and Tanya, for joining us. You did it last year. It helped so much.
Thank you to Frank for actually writing it.
It is nice. They come with everything, but it's the oversight. That's what we do. So it's good. All right, construction update.
This is good for you.
So,
yeah.
That's a combination of myself and Rob Berkowski, but Rob puts together all the information. And he's the expert on sort of the status and all the detail related to the project. So I'm going to turn it over to Ross.
Okay, so I'm going to work off of this report right here that's in your package, the active construction project report. And first up is at City College. Item number one in the first column is Da Vinci Hall.
Sorry to interrupt this.
Great, welcome.
We still have to take the formal action, take it to the board, but yeah, he's going to be the nominee for the position.
Great. We'll do that after the report.
Yes. It'll go to the board.
For the next time? The board, okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
So Peter, I'm going to be working off this report right here for the active construction project. At City, the item one is Da Vinci Hall, and the contractor there is Amoroso. It's a design bid build job. The project is $17 million currently for construction. It is 59% complete. The current contract substantial completion date is July of 2018, but the forecasted substantial completion date is not till June of 2019. So there's about 11 months of delay there. A lot of it is associated with errors and omissions, agency requirements, et cetera. It is a modernization building, so we hit a lot of unforeseen conditions. Number two on the list is an ADA project. It's called ADA Phase 1A Interior Barrier. And the delivery method there is what's called a PQSP, and that stands for Pre-Qualified Service Provider. It's a delivery method for contracts that are under $2.5 million. The contractor is called TIS. That project is 20% complete. The construction amount currently is $960,000. The scope is a lot of ADA work, which is kind of path of travel. It includes doors, elevators, bathroom upgrades, some parking striping for handicapped spots. They threw in some air balance for HVAC as well. The contract and forecasted substantial completion date is January of 2019, so that one is on schedule. Moving ahead to Harbor, number three is a project called Relocation of Power and Phone Switch, and that is also a PQSP, Pre-Qualified Service Provider, and the general contractor is Baker Electric. The current contract amount is $841,000. That project is 35% complete. And the scope is a temporary fix to provide a transformer in the old admin building. And I don't know if you're familiar with Harbor, so that the electrical feed can be removed from the cafeteria building. And then the cafeteria building is scheduled for demolition. So that one has a revised substantial completion date of June of 2018, but it's running a little bit behind schedule. It's forecasted to complete right about now. I think we're getting very, very close to achieving substantial completion. Project number four at Harbor is called the Campus-Wide ADA. It's a design-build delivery method with a company called Davis Reed. It's a $1.4 million contract. This one is bundled with number seven. So number four on the list and number seven both go to Davis Reed as a bundle. It is currently 92% complete, getting very close to achieving substantial completion as well. The contract substantial completion date is February of 2018, so clearly that's behind us. And we're just trying to wrap up completion right now. There's about 5 months of delay, maybe six. And most of that is the responsibility of the design builder due to DSA delay. Number five on the list, also at Harbor, is the big student union project. The contractor there is Bernard's, and it's a $52 million current construction contract. This one has a bundle as well, so number five and six are bundled to Bernard's. It is currently 80% complete. It has a contract substantial completion date of March of 2019, but since this is a bundle and a package, this one's scheduled to complete in October of 2018. So that one's moving well. Number six, also with Bernard's, part of that bundle is a project called Infrastructure and Landscape and Hardscape, and that is there's an area called Central Green, which is a landscape area that kind of ties in the concept of the college there. There's also some scope that includes rerouting of utilities. There's a lot of utility work associated with this job. It's 95% complete, and this will finish after the student union is done, when they'll come in and finish the landscape and the hardscape. So that's looking at March of 2019. Number seven on the list is another ADA Davis Reed project, part of that bundle. And the scope is also ADA work. It is 92% complete, and that one is finishing any day, getting very, very close. Something new on the list at Mission is the Central Energy Plant. That's number eight on the list. That's a design build delivery method with a company called Rudolph and Slutton. And the scope is a modular central plant. So that includes the boilers and the chillers that will provide central air and cooling for the college.
Question on that one. We're at 5% complete, and there's approved change orders already?
Correct.
Can you kind of give me an idea why there's change orders so early in the project?
Yes, so the central plant, it's a modular building. It's a modular building in Mexico.
Okay.
And there was some concern whether it's a building that requires fire alarm or doesn't require fire alarm. So if it's just, if it's classified as a building, then you have to add fire alarm components.
Correct.
So there was some uncertainty at DSA. They initially approved it as not a building. But now, based on the current revisions, they're considering it a building. So we're forced to comply with the DSA requirements. So right off the bat, we've already had some change orders in scope. We also have to send some guys down to do the implant in Mexico. We found an inspector of record that's willing to do that. So as you probably know, in the modular buildings, when they put the steel and the welds together, that has to be witnessed via an inspector.
I've done a project that was out of Mexico. It was a living experience.
Sure. So that's happening right now. I think this week, last week, maybe today even, there's somebody down watching that fabrication take place.
Is that a design bid build or is that a design build?
That one is a design build.
So,
I don't get it.
So who is the architect or record on that? Because how can they justify whether that trailer is going to be a building or not?
So the architect of record on that one is NAC. Are you familiar with NAC?
No.
But remember, it wasn't, the architect submitted, submissions for the project for scope. And at the time, the decision that was made by DSA is it was considered not a building for safety, but that has since changed. So this is one of those scenarios where DSA has the ability to change their mind during design and construction, and we have to comply.
But it's not the architect's responsibility to bring it within code for the dollar amount bid?
It is. It is. So there's a GMP, but the information that we gave to the architectural team associated with that particular project was not the same information that played out with DSA.
Are we overall okay? I know we don't have the budgetary information here, but they bid 12.6 million, and now we're looking at about 13 and change.
Correct.
Are we okay at this earliest stage?
Yes, we have sufficient money in the contingencies to take care of that estimate at completion. That includes the change order cost.
And the change order encompasses everything to bring it in to the standard for a building?
I think they're still working that out to some degree.
So we're going to see more, possibly.
Not necessarily. The information that's in hand right now is it'll take $13 million to complete that project. So the exact scope to go from the original budget to the estimate of completion, I don't know exactly offhand. But I can be ready next time to give that information to you guys.
And this came in within the PSA?
PSA, yes, this is a PSA job.
Yeah. Okay.
So the next project is tied to that one. It's called Renewable Energy. It's item 8 on the list, also at Mission. That's also with Rudolph and Sletten. And I'm sorry, number 9. Number 9 is the Renewable Energy project, also with Rudolph and Sletten. And that construction contract is $3.1 million. The scope is a fuel cell. So that fuel cell will generate electricity. And that project just started. It's at 1% completion. And the forecasted substantial completion date and the estimated substantial completion date is August of 2019. Moving ahead to Pierce College is number 10. And number 10 is a parking lot roadway, anthropology and geography buildings at Pierce. And the contractor there is GMZ. Contract stands at $2.4 million. And the scope is to demo those two buildings and put a parking lot in its place. It is 1% complete and is scheduled to finish in March of 2019. Number 11 is called the Mason Reroute. That is a design bid build with GMZ as well. That current construction contract is $2.6 million.
May I, as a side note, going through Pierce is on Waze. So that's why they're doing reroutes for other reasons too, but that's the main reason because we just had traffic coming right through our campus.
So that project, the scope includes a lot of civil work, so that street and some street light work, also includes some underground utilities. That project is 1% complete as well and scheduled to finish in March of 2019. Number 12 is called Physical Security and Hardware at Pierce, and the contractor there is called Securitas, and that one is a leaseback delivery method. And the construction contract currently stands at $1.9 million. And the scope there is video cameras, installation of the video cameras. 1% complete, also scheduled to complete in March of 2019. Moving along to Southwest College, which is number 13. The project is called School of Science. And that's a design build project with Harper Construction. The steel topping off ceremony took place last week. I think David Salazar was in attendance and spoke.
kind of a fun event. That construction contract is $15.6 million. It is 25% complete, and the contractual substantial completion date is June of 19, and the forecasted completion date is July of 2019, so it's running about 30 days behind currently. Number 14, also at West, is called the Campus Burial Removal Project. The contractor is Valley Grande. The scope includes some paving, some signage, curb and gutter, some drinking fountain adjustments, and path of travel. That project is 50% complete, scheduled to complete in October of 2018. Moving ahead to item 15 at Trade College. This is the Blue Line extension on Grand Avenue, and that contract is $3.1 million, and it's with Balfour Beatty. Balfour Beatty is the design builder, with DLR as the architect. And that's just a bunch of off-site work as it stands, this phase of work. That's an area for MTA on the drop-off and the coordination. Project is 70% complete. The contractual completion date is August of 2018, and the forecasted completion date is October, so it's running about 2 months behind. Moving ahead to item 16 at Valley College, we have the VAC, that's the Academic and Cultural Center, and that is a pinner job. It is a lease-back delivery method, and the current construction budget is $78 million. The contractual substantial completion date is December of this year, but the forecasted substantial completion date looks like approximately April of 2020, maybe as early as January of 2020. So that's about 2 years of delay. We're working with Pinner right now to resolve some of the change order issues. A lot of unforeseen conditions took place, and some delays and errors on the architectural side. So that is a high-risk project that we're tracking closely.
What is the potential delay claim from them on this one here? You talk about 2 years and 4 months then. And you said it's a large project, so $8 million. So I wonder is the compensable delay be determined on so much a day, and then we determine whether it is compensable or non-compensable. How are we cheating with something like this, and what are the exposures?
Want to take it, John?
So the short answer is it's being watched very carefully, and it's too soon to know. But we're taking it day by day, and we're evaluating delays and who's responsible. Some of them are on our side, some of them are on the contractor's side, and that's, we're trying to hash it out as we go. I appropriately call it a high-risk project, which we pay particular attention to. So I don't have a full answer to you, but it's something that we're evaluating on an ongoing basis.
Any idea what the overall exposure may be? I think we're talking about $10 million, talk about $5 million, $1 million.
It's north of $1 million. I don't want to characterize it. We're trying to work out, break things up in pieces as we go, but I don't think we're in active negotiations and discussions with the contractor trying to break down issues and resolve the stuff as we go. But we are also 33% into the project, and so there's a lot of variable yet to come.
I understand. But how do they normally, do they negotiate when problem service, and then we'll try to share with us the exposure and then negotiate to get an agreement before they move forward, or the contract require them to move forward no matter what? We'll talk at the end of the project. How are we dealing?
Yeah, so we're trying to, we have to, to the extent we can, resolve problems, keep things moving. And so we're trying to resolve as much as we can along the way to keep the critical path moving on the project. So we're doing a little bit of both. There will probably be, at the end, there will be issues that we do not agree on, and we may resolve that in some form.
There is enough contingency to, on this particular one, do we know what the contingency may be at this point? Out of 78 million, do we, how much money have we set aside to do that particular project?
We are carrying a 10% contingency.
Oh, 10%.
For change orders. And we have budget for another 5% if needed.
That brings the standard on all projects. Some are larger.
Well, I think so. You know, projects vary on their change order rates. I think on average we're, you know, 5 to 10% on most projects. New construction, I think modernization projects run quite a bit higher, depending on the circumstances.
What was the delivery system on this?
This was a lease back. So it was a best value selection process. That's how it differs from the design bid build, which is a low bid. We do a pre-qualification process now on our design bid builds, which is nice. So we can take a group, whittle it down to maybe 4 or 5, and then the low bid wins. But on the lease back, it is a best value selection process. So for this particular project, I think it was 30% cost, and then 70% non-cost variable based on best value. So it's based on past experience, the strength of the team individuals, and then 30% was cost.
Large project, very unique project, unique dynamics, which lends to that, where you look to experience more heavily when you're trying to figure out who's the most appropriate person. It's not like just putting up classrooms, it's with the theater complexes and a lot of the complex stuff going on.
Yeah, the part that kind of puzzles me on this particular one is that you have a 2-year delay. Project is $78 million. You already threw this 3% into it, and there's only $114,000 change order so far that is on the book, and that's all the claim so far that we settled. There's no other claim beside that.
That's correct. We're in the process of now working through some of these issues, so we'll see change orders coming forward.
Let me try to explain it this way. So there's 4 or 5 large change orders. At this point in time, we don't think the largest of the group has merit. Our position is subject to negotiation on the change order process. We don't think we own the delay and the cost. So that's why we're not picking it up here on this report with the estimate to complete. Now there is risk there. This number will go up over time, but right now on the largest change order of the group, we don't think it has merit.
Any idea what kind of magnitude we're talking about on the largest one? Even though they don't have merit, they talk about $2 million.
$2 million.
So will the district be able to go after errors and omissions?
The district always has the opportunity to go after errors and omissions insurance with the architect, yes.
So it's meet, you know, it's projected to meet the minimum at least where the district can go.
Correct. So the term is standard of care, and if we feel as the district that the architect has not complied with a standard level of care associated with the job, we reserve the right within the professional services contract to pursue errors and omissions insurance that the architect QDG has to maintain.
So I might just add that this was the QDG was a takeover architect because this was that project that started and then stopped, and then Ehrlich was the original architect, and QDG was the takeover architect, and they took over the drawings. So it's a little more complicated because you have one architect start the design and another architect finish the design.
So this particular project, I guess the issue lies on the design. The contractor is working with us, are they workable or how?
Yes, I just met with the contractor, I think a couple days ago. Project execs came in and we did our best to develop a plan moving forward, trying to establish some integration and some cooperation. It's been a tough project, but yes, they're doing what they can to stay cooperative. Now, They've got some subcontractors that made things difficult. They always have their own view of the world. But Penner is very interested in completing the job and finishing it as soon as they can.
But the subs are not being replaced. We only replaced the architect.
We replaced the architect, but that was at the start of the job.
Yeah.
And we have not replaced. We have not replaced any subcontractors underneath the leaseback general contractor now.
So we got another good year and a half.
Closer to 2 years.
Close to 2 years.
Delay that we have to hammer out.
No, I'm talking about the completion.
Yes.
April 2020.
Yes. Somewhere between January of 2020 and April of 2020 is our current forecasted completion for this project as a result of some delay. Some of those delays have been rain delays, you know, so those are non-compensable. You know, we move out the substantial completion, they don't cost us any money.
I guess the question I want to ask is, between now and the completion, have we resolved all the known problems that I guess the thing to know now is that did we resolve all the problems that, or the unknowns, or that we know?
No, not at this stage of the game, no. We still have,
there's still some unknown coming up.
Unresolved issues.
We're working as we go, trying to identify issues and try to resolve them as we can. This is going to be a tough one the whole way through.
Yeah, well, it appears that way. I mean, you know, it looks like, when did we start in the beginning? When's the project start? There's no start date on this chart.
A year ago?
Oh, more than that.
Yeah, it started a while ago.
I was going to suggest, I mean, I was going to wait till the end, but having the general contractor name and the architect's name on the list, if it's at all possible, if we can fit that into another column and the start date, will probably help us a little bit to get a better understanding of when they start, where we are now, when they're going to finish, and the they may help, you know, unless those are, I think those are information that can be shared, right? It's not something that
I can check with these guys. I always try to always say who the general contractor is and who the architect is.
Right, but
I'd like to see it on the report.
If you have in the report, it'll help. And also the start date of the project will probably help too. Because I know we see a original schedule commission date and a current forecast today, but the actual start date, the original potential commission date, but we don't know the overall length of the project.
Makes sense.
Right. That way, at least we know we're talking about a 4-year project with 2-year delay. We're talking about 1-year project with 2-year delay.
Right.
It's a big difference as far as, you know, how diligent are these guys working.
Right, right.
That will help us.
Okay, any other questions on back at Valley? Then moving ahead to West, we have plant facilities. That's item 17, plant facility center. That is a design build contract with McCarthy. The architect of record is A.C. Martin. That is a $2.4 million job. It's about 90% complete right now. They're developing the punch list, so that one is very close to achieving substantial completion. So the contractual substantial completion date was March of 2018, and this one isn't going to finish until about August or September. There is some delay there, but that delay is the responsibility of the design builder. And then number 18 is the physical security and hardware at West College. This is a leaseback delivery method. The contractor is Securitas. The architect of record is Tetra Tech. That is a $3.1 million construction contract, and the scope of work there is fire alarm and some low voltage. 25% complete, on schedule to complete in March of 2019.
What's the sub for that, the low voltage?
That I don't know offhand. Big part of that is the fire alarm. Who's our big fire alarm guys? Johnson Controls.
Cardell.
Simpson.
Now we're rolling around with different names every 3-6 months to talk to them as a different company.
So in summary, we've got 18 projects in construction to the tune of about $217 million on the total construction contracts.
And then on the horizon, we were talking about it this morning, that the project at Southgate, for the Southgate site, we have the demo project is going to get underway like next month. That's going to be moving forward, at least the demo component of that project.
New satellite
college. So new satellite college at Southgate.
Has it already been done, or is that encompassing the sterilization of the cleanup?
That will be part and parcel. It's under DTC direction. And when the floors come out, they'll be sampling done, and it will require whatever appropriate measures for the soil.
Okay. And then the next project, on the horizon, is that trade, and that's for the culinary arts building, and that we're having a groundbreaking next month also. So there's more projects that'll be added to the list, and you know, more projects going forward in the hopper.
Great, thank you very much. That was good. Any other questions for us?
One more quick question on number 11. Is that a $3 million job or $2.6 million? What's the difference on that EAC conversion being like construction of the cost?
Okay, so we'll start with the first number. That's the 2.055. That's the original construction amount.
Correct.
Then we go over two columns. That's the revised construction amount. So in this case, they're equal, so there's no change orders.
Right.
And then the estimate at completion is 2.6. So the project team is forecasting about $600,000 worth of change order activity on that job, which is very common for a lot of that off-site work. So there's
is this being estimated from our end or from the contractor end? Or
no, that's from our end.
From our end,
it's an internal project team. Right.
That to be some additional work.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Melinda will be giving her own report as well as the chancellor's report.
That'll be the chancellor's report. Again, it's great to be here. I'm actually really excited about Build LACCD and all the projects that are going on. And after this meeting, I get a one-on-one with David to find out even more things. But here's a quick update on what's been happening in the district. Two of our colleges have new presidents. LA Southwest has a new president, Dr. Sahara Wan. She began on Monday, July 16th. I've been out and visited a couple of times. I was there for the topping out ceremony. And so she's really jumping in feet first, and lots of good things happening out at Southwest, particularly with facilities. LA Pierce has a new interim president, Dr. Larry Buckley, who began on Monday, August 6th. I haven't been to Pierce yet, but I'm really interested to go out and see that college and the projects that are there. I have been to almost all the colleges. I have three left to visit, but it's been great. I've been getting tours from the presidents, who of course have been highlighting what's happening in terms of new construction and renovation. And all that's great because classes begin soon. They begin Monday, August 27th. And the chancellor wanted me to give you some updates on some of the important things that have been happening at individual colleges. Both LA City and Mission College have received grants to expand or improve their veteran resource centers. So City got $200,000 to actually expand to a larger space, and Mission got $100,000 to improve services. Mission also, we just found out last Tuesday, received a $1.3 million NSF National Science Foundation grant. That's really special. So that's a great news, and that will help with helping target minority students into STEM fields. Pierce also received a grant, not quite as big, $300,000 grant through NASA. They're partnering with JPL to develop a new STEM course, so I think that's really great news. We already talked about the topping out ceremony. You briefly saw student trustee Kelly Williams, who brought art student trustee in. Kelly has been elected as the student trustee for the CCCT board. That's the California Community College Trustee Board. So that's great news, lots of representation. And finally, the campus safety emergency preparedness plans should be done and signed by the chancellor, hopefully at the end of this month. So there's a district plan and an annex for all 9 of the colleges. And so there's been quite a bit of emphasis on safety and emergency preparedness. You're probably aware that some of the bond money is going towards safety projects and that the door lock project is in full swing. And just FYI, we will be hosting at Pierce on August 23rd, a major interagency exercise. It's an active shooter exercise that we'll be doing with the Sheriff's Department, LAPD, and the Fire Department. So a lot of good work going on in that area as well. But the big news really truly is fall session starts August 27th, so all the campuses are really spending a lot of time and effort to welcome students. Have you been hearing and seeing the advertisements on billboards and buses about the different colleges and the LA Promise? Yeah, we're really spending a lot of time and effort to try to get as many students in the doors for this fall semester. So that's the district report.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions? Any chance for her and the chancellor?
Just out of curiosity, does the enrollment look like it's going to be more or the same as last year?
It's interesting. We started enrollment a month earlier this fall than last fall. So when you do the enrollment statistics, it's not quite comparing apples to apples. But right now, it looks like headcount is going to be higher than it was last fall. And it looks like we're getting about a 40% increase in the students that are eligible for the LA Promise. So that means first-time students, most of these are right out of high school that have done all the requirements, and so that could be very good news. We're putting a lot of effort into trying to stabilize enrollments. Our initial projections show that we estimate to be about flat or up to a 1% decline. The strong economy is what we're trying to figure out how to gauge. It's our biggest competition for students, because a lot of folks are deciding they'd rather be in the workforce, even if they're earning minimum wage, than investing in college. So that's what we're kind of grappling with, and we're trying to really expand high school inReach to try to help students understand the value of investing in higher education and how we have the financial aid packages to help them. So that's where we're trying to kind of get more students back in. But I'll admit, the economy being as strong as it is, it's making it difficult to see real growth. Our goal is actually to stop the decline.
What are the actual numbers, estimates as far as enrollment? And then how many of those students are LA Promise?
I don't know the exact number of LA Promise. I can get that for you. We just completed our actuals for last year. We came in terms of full-time equivalent students at 999,994. 99994. I asked, could you find 6 more so it could just be 100,000 full-time equivalent students? Awesome. But no. So that's basically what we're anticipating to come through with this year, with the 18-19 year, is basically right there, 100,000, 99,000. So our head count is up, and our enrollment per section is up, but our credit and our sections have gone down. So I don't like these numbers because we started enrolling a month earlier, so our head count, everything should be up right now as compared to last year.
And that's just full-time?
No, and headcount, this is everybody, yeah. So we should know, we'll have a good estimate once we get to mid-September when we have our first census report. And we can definitely share that information with this group. Since you're not meeting in September, we could share it with the chair and you can distribute it out via email.
And I understand you don't have the numbers for LA Promise, but what's the rough estimate? Like 20% of those students are LA Promise?
I honestly don't know. That would probably be about as much as I would imagine it would be. 20-25% would be the most. But I will note that and I will find out for you.
It's fun information.
All right, any other questions? Thank you for that, that's great. And again, welcome.
Thank you.
Old business? New? Adjourned? No. Anything else to ask all the staff that's here? Anything else you need to know? All right. Well, good meeting. Adjourn the meeting. It's almost 5 to 1, so you have about an hour. We're not taking a tour of this particular building, so you can get on the road. And thank you. Thank you, staff. You always come so well prepared for these meetings. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'd be happy to send out a report in September, because I'm sure people would love to know what that final count of Promise students, and we'll know.
Those who've been so curious.
It's